A couple of weeks ago, Chuck was speaking about the Holy Spirit and been praying and entreating the Lord to answer his question as to how come he didn't see more of the gifts of the body. I beg your pardon, the gifts of the Spirit that are given to the body, exercised in the body. And he was after the Lord in prayer and after the Lord in prayer, and the Lord finally answered him, told him, I've shown you a more excellent way. And that's the large chunk of the last verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, just before you get in the love chapter. It says, seek ye earnestly the best gift. But I've shown you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way, of course, is love. Teach the word in love and preach Jesus Christ in love. Now that's Chuck's ministry. My ministry in Calvary Chapel is to see that isn't overdone. And just enough of you laughed at that. I wonder how many would laugh. Just enough of you laugh, so there's enough of you here who know my ministry. Somebody way over here said, yeah. As we were sitting here singing, I was wondering, where do I start, Lord? And it's just so like the Lord. The Lord says, with the people. You always start and end with the people. That's what Jesus Christ came for. He didn't come for building. He didn't come for ecology. He came for people, specific people, you. As I was looking out over there, some that I don't recognize, and for those of you that I don't, you're just as well off. Those that I do recognize and know something about, it's, I wished I had at this point real good adjectives to lay on you, or adverbs that would describe, oh, how lousy I think some of you are in your present walk. But really and true, more than anything else, that to watch you grow and go through all of the same things that I am going through, or have gone through, or have yet to go through, and know that you're still there and you're still worshiping the Lord, and maybe you don't like the way things are going or whatever, but to know some of the things in the past of God's people just kind of blows my mind. As I was sitting there just looking back and forth across the faces and listening to the music, and by the way, a lot of people have a tendency to ask me how come I don't clap. First off, I've been clapping for 4 years, morning, noon, and night, and I got tired of it. Besides, I clap off beat. Same way I sing. So I don't clap. I also got out of the habit of raising my hands in thy loving kindness, because it's kind of tough to raise your hands in thy loving kindness and stand back there and somebody comes around the corner and says, the toilet's plugged up. And it's hard for a guy to say something to you when you're standing there worshiping the Lord. So I got used to keeping my hands down so people could talk to me. As I was looking across there, Greg stopped and he said, go meet somebody, you know, go introduce yourself to somebody. And I love that. I really do. I honestly do. And those times that I have shared with you in the past, I've from time to time asked you to share just as Greg did. So I went down and I met a young lady sitting in the front row. Her name is Susie. And then I met a young guy named Brian. Hi, Susie. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. I said, how long have you known the Lord? Oh, about 2 weeks. I'm going, wow, right on. Because those are the exciting people. The rest of you professional people that have known Christ for a while, you've got it down to a formula and you're not as exciting. You're like I am. She's really got it down to a formula, I guess. That's excitement to me, is to go up and talk to people, and that's the thing that, it just, so far as I'm concerned, is a perfect bridge or a lead into the thing that I'd like to share with you tonight. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to anybody else. Those of you sitting out there tonight that don't know Jesus Christ, you sit still. We'll get to you in just a minute. But all the rest of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know where you're going. As Greg says, you know you're going to make the Jerusalem trip one way or the other. It's only a matter of time. You can see it courtesy of Jesus Christ or Pan Am. But it's the people. I said, Susie, how did you meet Jesus Christ? She says, well, at work. Well, I thought it would be in a prayer group or a church or one of those. That's how formalized I've got this thing. I forgot people still witness at work. She says, I met Jesus Christ at work while I was working. There's two guys there, they know Jesus Christ. And she used a beautiful word. She didn't say that they witnessed to me. She said they ministered to me. And that's what I want to share tonight. I thought, oh, Lord, I just wondered how I was going to get into this thing just like breaking an egg. I'll just throw it at him, you know. The Lord says, no, no, smoothly. I'll do it smoothly. Just sit still. And she grabbed his arm as I started to walk away, and she says, he's the one that did it. And he said, no, Jesus Christ. If you've got enough yourself, you've got that amount from Jesus Christ. It's in that amount that you have something to give away. If you do not have enough to give away, then you're living part of your life for yourself and part for Jesus Christ. You are at that point a double-minded person, and according to the scriptures, you're unstable in all your ways. You have such beautiful conversation that most Christians have come to say, like I shared this morning in the morning Bible study, you can say, I feel that God, I know that all things are possible with God, but, yeah, but I, there's a wonderful animal. You can almost say it like one word, yeah, but I. You've got it down to such a science. God is there somewhere. God is there somewhere, but you do not have an overflowing life. You do not have that full life. You can come to Calvary Chapel. You can come to whatever church that you fellowship at. If you just visit here once in a while, fine, praise God. Whatever it happens to be, but as you sit down and you're taught from the Word, and incidentally, if you're not in a church where you're taught from the Word, then you better get out of it because you're going to die in a vine like a dried up prune. But you're taught from the Word. You're made healthy through the Word. You're instructed through the Word. God said that He would honor His Word above His name. And that being the case, then let's start with some scripture. Let's go to, if you will, join me in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 12. Beg your pardon, verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. The book of Ephesians talks about the believer's walk and his strength and his faith. Go over the book of Ephesians. It'll tell you where you're at as a Christian and what you've got going for you. Starting with verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what reason did he give them? He says so in verse 12. When you read the Bible, read what you read. Question what you read. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? He set these down in the body for the perfecting of the saints. That's you. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's you. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and unto the perfect man, and under the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compactly by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual workings in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now in verse 16, which is really the whole pivotal verse, it's really talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the body of Christ having arms and legs and head and feet and eyes. That's you that they're talking about, and the simile is, and the parallel is in this body of Christ, the Holy Spirit has divided severally to each one of us those gifts that He would have us have. You have been given spiritual gifts that you might minister, now get this straight, that you might minister to each other within this body. Now, going back to what Ephesians is stating to us, that he has set apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We are to be taught. And you go back and you look at the 14th chapter of the book of John, and it says in there that the Holy Spirit was sent for two things, one to comfort and second to teach. But the whole idea of Christian maturity speaks to this, that after you're comforted and after you're taught, then teach other people and comfort other people. There's a sect out there, folks, a cult out there, for which people are flocking to like mad, because they're doing what we say we've got. And they haven't got what we've got. But the difference is that they are doing it. They are ministering one unto another. You do not have any right, you have no responsibility to come to this body of Christ and pretend like that you're living a bunch of months. Yeah, you have no right. These are not strangers to you unless you insist that they be strangers. And the best way to have a stranger is not talk to him. And you can get rid of what is talking about the body being compactly fitted together in love, because you cannot love what you don't talk to. You cannot love what you do not listen to. I would have every person in this room tonight, as the Lord is my witness, stand down here in front and have met this two that are down here and see the joy and the sweetness and the Holy Spirit coming out of speech and eyes, because somebody was not only witnessed to, but then they were ministered to, brought them to a place where they can be fed. That's ministering to others. We have the obligation to go out and witness to others. We are taught. Jesus Christ gave out the Great Commission, and then to be sure that it got done, he said, you stick around in Jerusalem for a while, I'm going to give you some power so you can get it done. Not only will I give you the message, but now I'll give you the power to go get it done. So we're to witness in this world. But the most effectual body that there is in this Bible that I can think of is a group of men is over in the book of Acts, and they got together, and after they got power and they were a total unit, it was said of them when the other people saw them coming, when the heathen saw them coming, it says, here comes those who have turned the whole world upside down. Now, we've been given the Holy Spirit, you and I, and he has given gifts to his body. He started out again with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to be sure that we're a well-taught people. Don McClure, in one of his messages one time, said it was just neat. It was so fantastic the way we can come into here and be fed in the love, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the word is preached in love. And then you get up and you back out of your two pews and you bump into somebody and you say, oh, excuse me, how are you? God bless you. Neat talk, huh? Gone. You don't know who they are. You didn't take trouble because you had a whole schedule. And that schedule is so far more important. Tonight I was watching the World Series. I watched it as long as I could. And it was time to get dressed. Then my wife kept dilly-dallying around by the door so I couldn't get out, because she knew I wanted to get in the car and turn the radio on and listen to some more of it. I finally made it to the car, and I got outside and got around the corner and got down the street and had that radio on, started listening to the thing. The Lord says, me or the ball game? I said, just a minute, Lord, just a minute. Because my schedule is tight. I got to work all things, and I got to have some of the World Series. Must have it. As a whole man, how will I be able to talk to these other guys and keep up my front if I can't talk to them about the World Series and my interpretation of what happened? The Lord says, me or the World Series? Just let me see Rudy. I didn't know Joe Rudy get up. And I got my way because I have a free will, and he got up and hit a home run and I turned the radio off. And the Lord says, oh, now me, huh? The time that I spend with the Lord means that I know who's in charge and who's taking care of me. And when I finally decide that he is really God and he'll meet every one of my needs out of his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, then I can turn around and minister to somebody else. And at that particular point, I am no different than those of you that are in this chapel tonight. I am no different than you at that point. I'm a man before God who has to have my needs and my greeds and my anger and my uptightness and all the rest of it must be met. And if it's not met, then what I continue to do is wring my hands and go back to God and hem and haw and talk to people and cut corners and everything else so I can get my needs met. My Lord never called me and He never called you to be a pauper. He never said we had to go second class. And then when I finally come to the place where I realize that He really meant what He said in His Word and He would take care of everything that I needed, I said, well, then what are my priorities, Lord? And the Lord says, now right on, we're down to it. Let me set the priorities. He says, the first thing you need is joy and peace. I said, well, I've been hustling that all along, you know. Job with a better pay, so I'll become a minister. Lord says, you're going to do it for pay, huh? Well, when it comes right down to it, I finally find out that the real blessings are in service. And all the rest of it's window trimming. All the rest of it's window trimming. God so enabling me and so giving so much of what He's got that I've got enough left over to give to somebody else. That other people are really interesting. They're really worthwhile. That Jesus Christ died for them just as much as He did for me, regardless of what I think of them. And then a miracle takes place. I find out that there's two or three that I don't like. So naturally, my first prayer in my learning process is, Lord, change him so I can like him. And the Lord says, which way would you have him and what condition? I said, I don't know. I doubt if you could do too much. The Lord says, you want me to change him? I said, and anytime the Lord starts to question me, then I have to listen. Well, what do you mean, do I want you to change him? And the Lord says, well, there's two in the bargain. Me? Lord says, let's start with you. I said, now, Lord, you know I'm not going to ask you for love for that guy because I don't like him. How can I love him? Lord says, I didn't ask you to love him. I asked you to understand him. I says, okay, help me to understand him. That's fair enough. I'll try that. Next thing I know, God's done a whole number on his head, and he's got interesting conversation, and he isn't as lousy as I thought he was. He doesn't sneer as much as I thought he did. Who did God change? Him? No, me. So God finally ministered to me, and now I not only don't have to walk around the sanctuary to avoid the guy, I can wait to see him and greet him. Then I begin to understand him, because I'm listening to him. And that Wednesday night class, it's one of the formulas that I hand out to the folks in the ministries, to the body, is this. If you listen to people, you can understand them. If you understand them, then you can love them. If you can learn to listen, you can learn to love. If you can't listen, you can't love, because you can't love what you don't understand. It's the simplest thing in the world. Well, what's going to cause me to stop and listen to other people? Because I'm so engrossed with my own mouth, my own conversation, my own personality, I've hardly got room for you people. And the Lord steps up and says, what makes you think that you are so all-fired important? I says, well, first off, I'm 5'6", trying to be 6'5". Lord says, you want to be a big man? I said, no. Lord says, you're trying it with your mouth. Therefore, my pride comes into it and my selfishness comes into it. And all of these things begin to stumble me because I'm trying to gather to myself those things that I think I need. And God says, I've got more than plenty for you. So he sets me down. He says, let me teach you. Let me teach you. Let me teach you what joy is. Let me teach you what patience is. Let me teach you what sin is. Let me teach you what wisdom is. I said, that sounds fine. Then the Lord begins to give me and to be my peace and to be my joy. And I can finally smile. And it isn't because I'm trying to get something out of somebody, but because the joy and the peace starts inside. And the next thing you know, I'm beginning to extract wisdom from His Word. And I've now got wisdom not only for the guidance of my own life, but I got some left over. Both joy and peace and wisdom. And now I'm starting to look around. As I begin to look around, I begin to find out a marvelous thing. Would you turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, please? First Corinthians 12, starting with the 12th verse. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, and whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I love that. I just love that verse, made to drink. I wish we could pause on it. For the body is not one member but many. Now pay attention from here on in. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? That's fantastic. You are not Chuck Smith. You are not raised up to teach. Your name is not McClure or Wiseman or Billy Graham or anything else. But you are special in God's eyes, and He has placed you in this body, and He's trying to tell you that simply because you've got a teacher up in front, that isn't where it ends. Because if we're supposed to be fitly joined together and compactly joined together, and we're supposed to do all things in love, and we're supposed to minister to each other, then how are you going to minister to other people in the body? God has put gifts in the body. And the gifts that He's put in those body has been put there for the sole reason that you can turn to somebody beside you and he's no longer a stranger. Hi, how are you? I'm not too good. I just lost my job. I've got two children. I don't know what to do. Would you feel like going before the Lord in prayer, and let's ask God to start to providing between now and the time you get hired? Intercessory prayer. Jesus Christ was one of the greatest practitioners of intercessory prayer. And you know what? Jesus prayed with what you and I would call strangers. People you don't know. You don't have to know them. They got the same Jesus Christ as you are, therefore you have. Therefore, there's a common ground. Intercessory prayer. What's the purpose of these gifts of the Holy Spirit to the body? That this might be a strong body, a very strong body. Because a strong body will go out there and rip the world up in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we're ministering to each other's needs. We're seeking and petitioning God on the behalf of each other. Not just looking after our own needs, because those are already taken care of. We don't have to worry about being taught, because He's placed in the bodies apostles and teachers and evangelists and prophets. We are taken care of. We have a place to be taught. The name of Jesus Christ is exalted in love. The Holy Scriptures are exalted in love and taught in love. Fantastic. Now, what do you do with it? You can't quite obviously just scoff it all up to yourself. And you never know what time in this body you have need of being used. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set... Go back with me. Everybody read it together. Let's all read it together. But now hath God... As it has pleased Him. You're here in this body because it pleases Him. Oh, I thought this was my idea. Well, I tell you what. You take your idea back. You take your idea back and you lay it over the top of that scripture and you find out who's right and who's wrong. He said He's got you in this body because at this time it pleases Him to have you here. Why does He want you here? To learn and to minister. To be comforted and to comfort others. When was the last time you stopped somebody in this body to find out where their head and heart was at with Jesus Christ? And if it's been some time and you've never done it, why? Were you always in such a hurry to get in and out of here? Fellowship does not start in the local restaurants over a cup of coffee. It starts here. And the easiest fellowship in the world is with your friends, but that means all of the rest of these people in here are not your friends. Oh, I didn't say that. You didn't have to. You act and live that way. It is not what you say, it's what you do. You shared this before, and it bears repeating, that Don asked me to take his class one time and took his class, and again, I got back to that idea of asking the people to stand up and share. And there's one young lady that stood up and shared, and she shared with the lady behind her because that's what the Lord told her to do. And she took off. She told that lady all about Jesus Christ. And I just love the Lord. He's so great. Isn't fantastic? Gather like this in a fellowship. And she says, on and on and on. She said, oh, I beg your pardon. She says, I'm supposed to find out where you are with Christ too. She said, do you know Jesus? And the lady says, not like that. She says, have you accepted Jesus? Well, no, I don't think so. Would you like to do it now? Yeah. And here's everybody buzzing and talking, meeting somebody new, and there's somebody being led into the kingdom of God and before the throne of grace to accept Jesus Christ. Did you ever think how many blessings you're missing by the time you get up? That's over with. I love going to church for Thursday. Now back home. Over and get some ice cream. That's a heck of a lot bigger blessing than ministering to anybody in the body. What if one of them's got a problem I don't know how to solve? What about my image? What if they turn me down? What if they tie me up for an hour and a half? What about the babysitter? I'll be late going to work. I'll get fired. That's a heck of a lot more important than ministering to one of God's saints. That's what you said, because that's the way you did it. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the feet, the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. This next is for you. This next is for you. This is not for the ministerial staff here at Calvary Chapel. This is for you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. How about that? How about that? You can sit out there and say, but I don't have any talent. But I'm not able in these areas. But I've only known the Lord Jesus Christ 2 months. But I can't do it like that. Well, that's okay for him. Here you are punching a finger out there, and the Lord says, even those members, now get this, get the wordage, get the verbiage, even those members that seem to be more feeble. Why is the word seem to be more feeble, or as though it's an illusion? Because you are the one that has an illusion, because you want to hide behind the facade of a cop-out. You are not feeble because you have the Holy Spirit. Paul says, stir alive, kick alive, pinch alive. Bring alive that gift of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Wake up! The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is at hand right now. His Holy Spirit is right here among us. And you're obligated, not bound, to go before the Lord and say, if you've got something for me to do this night here in this body, you show me. And if it's nothing tonight, I'm open totally to you the rest of the night as I pillow my head and get up tomorrow morning. If there's somebody in the name of Jesus Christ that I can minister to, you set them in front of me. Now you pray that prayer and ask it in Jesus' name and find out what happens. I can tell you what happened and I can guarantee it. It doesn't happen, I'll eat the papers written on. You find yourself backing up and say, wait a minute, Lord. I got a second prayer. Slow up. Then when it begins to ease off and all the blessings begin to ease off, you say, wait a minute, Lord. I'm losing blessings. You can start in again. Ministering to other people. Lady went to the doctor and he says, you've got to be in traction. There's no other way out. You'll be in traction for about 2 months. She says, I feel that God can heal me. He, being a Christian doctor, says, I agree with you. You're going to be in traction anyway. He says, I'm going to put you in the hospital. She says, I can't be in the hospital. I've got 2 children. He says, I know how you mothers are with 2 children. You won't stay in bed at all. So she argued and pleaded with him, and then finally she got down to the wrestling place. She said, let's pray about it. And her prayer was, Lord Jesus, please convince this stubborn doctor I've got to go home. And he looked up and he said, that's a heck of a prayer. Now I'm caught. He said, I'll let you go home on a condition that you stay in bed. He says, well, I don't know where to get the babysitters. He said, if you can ask the Lord to convince me to let you go home and I'm letting you do it, then you pray for the babysitters. She got home, she walked through the front door, and the phone started coming off the hook. Now that doctor must have been awful busy calling people, because he's the only guy that knew the whole thing outside of the Holy Spirit. People start calling up and say, hey, I know you've been having trouble. Have you seen the doctor? Yes, I have. Well, what do you say? Traction. She said, oh, that means you can't get around the house. We'll come over and babysit. I got a 14-year-old daughter, and she was just asking about you, and she said she'd like to come over after school and do her homework over there. And quite typically of us, as we begin to be ministered to, you know, it's hard to let people do things for you. After all, I do have my pride. Standing there all the time begging that person, please kick my pride down. She says, well, Lord, now you've taken care of the babysitting. What am I going to do about meals? About that time, people started knocking on the door, and she says, I know what it is, and here's neighbors bringing meals. We felt you just came home from the hospital, and you probably don't feel like cooking, so we thought we'd bring something over. So, well, I got to be in traction. Out of sight! That gives me a chance to minister to you and do something the Lord's laid on my heart for a long time. I just praying that the Lord would let me help somebody in the neighborhood because we only got one car in a family and I can't get around. I can't service other people. That lady standing in the house is going. Far out. All because people start to pray and say, Lord, use me. Not only use me to witness out there in the community, for sure, nobody puts that down, but use me within the body. All are not called. That says some are called. Some are appointed prophets. Some are appointed evangelists. Some are appointed pastor teachers. Some. Not everybody. And because we're not called to be pastor and teachers, we feel that this is the only calling. And the Lord says, no, I placed you in this body as it pleases me, and those that seem to be more feeble are necessary because I say so in my word, and that makes it so, and you can't argue with it. Well, I don't have many talents, Lord, but what is it that I can do? You don't have to run down this list of governments, and helps, hospitality, intercessory prayer. You don't have to have a title and a tag for it. Just ask Him to use you. You'll find your category much later, or you may never find it. But what's more important is that we minister to each other. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Had lunch with a young guy here last week. He said a marvelous thing to me. Did you ever notice in the Bible that it says, love one another as you love yourself? He said, did it ever dawn on you why the Lord never said, love you one another as you love me? He knew there wouldn't be a crying chance for each other because we don't spend that much time loving Jesus Christ, and he knew it. But love one another as you love yourself, as you take care of yourself. That's even in the wedding contract. Husbands, love your wives, even as your own body. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. You cannot get anything done for anybody else if you will not let the Lord Jesus Christ service you. Sunday it was said in your hearing for those of you that are married that bicker all the time to and from church married. It's a heck of a lot easier to bicker than it is to pray. If you won't pray with your own husband, your own wife, it's no wonder that you won't service anybody else in here. And you don't dare do it anyway. You pray with somebody else for all their needs, you climb the car, the wife says, you don't pray with me. The guy comes back and says, I'm married to you. Then here we go. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You are made beautiful in service. It doesn't make any difference how you see yourself, how self-effacing, how self-denying, how much you put yourself down when it comes to the idea somebody challenged you to service the body of Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ's name. That means minister to each other. Because every time we get to the place where we start to talk about the fullness of the Spirit and to be baptized in the Spirit, or the overflowing of the Spirit, or any other terminology or semantics that you want to use, everybody gets hung up on the idea of tongues and healings, and that's as far as we ever go. And until we can settle tongues and healings, nobody ever gets off the dime. Surely tongues and healings are given to the body. And there's 20 more gifts. And the entire church body out there is so hung on the baptism of the Spirit they can't talk about anything but tongues. I feel like our pastor Chuck Smith, when he was taking a class up at one of the local colleges in psychology, and this professor standing up there saying, every Pentecostal I've ever met has always insisted you speak in tongues. Chuck's carrying an A average at that time, sticks his hand up. Professor says, what? He says, I speak in tongues. I don't care if you ever do. And that's just exactly my sentiments. Just exactly. I speak in tongues. I don't care if you ever do. I do, really, but I want it for you if that's what the Holy Spirit has got for you. I also care where you do it, too. If you do it anywhere else besides an afterglow, run one of those young ministers down after you. Because there's all the rest of these gifts that are given to the body that the body might be made strong. Go look. The body is not composed of teaching only. It is certainly must have teaching or it'll go nowhere, and that's primacy. Because when you go on down to this 12th chapter, he even gives primacy to that. He set first in the body apostles and teachers and evangelists. He wants us to be sure that we're a taught people. And I'd like to digress for just one second and go back in your thinking in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says that the reason that we have teachers in the body is so that we will be no more children who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Stay away from stupid doctrine. The doctrine that does not include and exalt Jesus Christ is a waste of time. Again, doctrine that does not exalt Jesus Christ is a waste of time. Do you believe, Romain, that you're eternally secure? Why do you ask? Well, you see, we got in this discussion the other night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were trying to decide whether we were eternally secure, once saved, always saved. I said, why are you discussing the doctrine, and to what end is it going to take you, and how does it exalt Jesus Christ? No answer. And I have yet to get an answer from anybody in these dumb doctrines. How does that exalt Jesus Christ? How does it further the purpose of the love of the Lord? And I haven't got an answer yet from anybody. Well, then why do you get into it? Well, I'd really like to know that if I'm once saved, always saved, then I can go back and do all the dumb things I've been doing for years and wanted to do and had to leave off because the Holy Spirit told me to stop them. Just as surely as you promote the doctrine of eternal security to somebody who's brand new in Jesus Christ and they just come out of a drug scene, what do you think they're going to do? Well, right back in the drug scene. Because you promoted a dumb doctrine. We are here to minister to each other as taught, that we be not tossed to and fro by these doctrines that divide the body, but rather we minister to each other the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts that's given to the body that I'd like to pick out for just this one second and just throw out to you is the gift of hospitality. Everybody thinks of hospitality is clean the house and get out the silverware and get out the best china and feed them a good meal, give them a fine dessert, a lot of coffee, have prayer and send them home, and that's hospitality. I've invited them into my house. I've been hospitable. That is not the gift of hospitality at all. That's not bad. The gift of hospitality is to be interpreted that you persecute people with goodness. Now, you and I both know there's no trouble at all to persecute people. Friends or anybody else that gets in our way and robs us of our joy or peace. But to persecute them with and I was researching this a while back for this Wednesday night, which was then the Tuesday night class, and I was researching this thing about the gift of hospitality. And all of a sudden, it comes to the place where it says, the gift of hospitality means that you will persecute people with goodness. That the members of the body, other Christians, you will chase them down the street in order to do good to them. Have you ever chased anybody down the street to do good to them? The only reason you chase them down the street is because they just snatch your purse. How do I get to that place? If I got the gift of hospitality, ask the Lord. Lord, show me the gift that you've given to me. Show me how to exercise it. I'm a well-taught and a well-founded person, you've taught me out of your word. I've got a place to come to be fed, but now, Lord, let me help your other saints. For those in the body that have become sick or lame or lazy, let me help them get up. Show me who they are. Open my eyes. Make me aware. And I'll tell you something else. It's no good to hear these things on a Thursday night and have them last until tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. It's useless to hear these teachings if it goes no further than the back door. If you're not going to do it the next time you come to church, or the next time you go to a prayer meeting, the next time you go to a Bible study, if you're not asking the Holy Spirit to show you those things that He'd have you to do while you're in that body, or while you're home, Lord, if there's any Christian anywhere that I can help, have them call me or show me who they are, or write me, or any other means you've got to get my attention. I'd just like to service the saints. You've done so much for me, Lord, I'd like to help the body of Christ that it might be strong. If you'd really like to see people saved, if you'd really like to see people witnessed to, Then go back and look at this 12th chapter of the first book of Corinthians. Take a good look at it. He's constructed the body and given it gifts that it might be a healthy body. Service that body and they'll tear this end of the country up. Lord, you've given me this new day and I ask you to put a hedge around me and fill me with your love and give me a good piece of your wisdom. You created a day and you stuck me in it, and before my feet touch this floor this morning, if there's anything I need, it's your love and wisdom, Lord, to get down the street. I got places to go and things to do and people to see. Lord, I'd just like to have you go before me. And if you'll do these things for me, Lord, anything you set in front of me, I'll try to do it the same way you want me to do. And when I blow it, you pick me up and dust me off and we'll do it again. Talk about an exciting life. You're sitting around about half dull and half bored and half chewed up with your problems. Lay them up on the throne of grace and say, now fill me with your joy and peace and let's see what you've got around me that I can service. I'd like to tell you about a few of the tore up people that I see that come to the church service. They come in here and Chuck says, let's stand. They start to sing. And I can see people all over the back because I walk all around the back for various and odd reasons or just to look sometimes. I see them talk, nudging each other, yawning, giggling, arguing, picking a scab on their finger. Really tore up about the Lord Jesus Christ. Really worshiping Him. Really open to anything He's got. Or He is all that He said He was, and there's hardly any room in your being for anything left but praise and worship and a little service. Because He's really Lord in your life, and He runs every fiber of your being and every corner of your mouth and mind and heart and eyeballs. And there isn't any doubt in your mind how far over you are and how far out you got when you get angry and mad and uptight. Because all your peace and joy so suddenly depart that there's a vacancy in your life and you want to get back to that first place so bad you can't see straight. Even if you have to go back and apologize to the person that you got mad at. Anything to get my peace and joy back. Because with that peace and joy I can help others. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles and secondarily prophets and thirdly teachers. Notice Paul, he's even numbered them all for you now so you know what's in primacy. And after that, miracles and then the gift of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles? Heck no. If everybody was a teacher, who's going to be taught? Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing and do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. What are the best gifts? The one that He has given you, you've got it now. All you've got to do is ask Him to stir it alive in you. Show me what I've got that I might minister to your saints, Lord. Slow me down. Slow me down, Lord, and show me what you've got for me. Make me sensitive in all judgment. Make me sensitive in all judgment to all things around me and to the people around me because you're so taking care of me, I finally got something for somebody else. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is what all the gifts are wrapped in. They're wrapped in love. And just as surely as you can ask the Lord to give you the gifts, ask Him to give you the love to exercise it. You've got a perfect deal, folks. You're taught. You're a well-learned people. You've got Jesus Christ and your everlasting life is taken care of, so you don't have to sweat this life because your everlasting life is taken care of. This is just a short life. And yet while you're here, He's going to do all the things that you need in this life. And then as you begin to grow and mature, the Lord says, now if you'll step out and help others, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a gift. I'll give you two or three gifts. I'll give you the power to get them done. Then I'll set the people in front of you to get it done. And then after you do it according to my will, the best way you know how, then I'll bless you for doing it. Now where do you come in with your self-image? Nowhere. You just stepped out of the way and the Lord took over your whole life. As much as you know how to give it to Him on a daily basis. Young people come in for marriage counseling. Well, young people, anybody that comes in for marriage counseling or wedding counseling, I should say. I tell him, you're not married because you stand in front of a minister and you exchange rings and you exchange vows and then you walk down an aisle. That doesn't make you married. What makes you married is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That makes you married. It's the daily living that makes you married. You know what makes you a Christian? Because you've accepted Jesus Christ. In the book of James, if you have faith, then you've got works. And your works will show forth. And that works that I'm sharing with you tonight out of the Word of God is that you minister to one another. The gifts of the Holy Spirit as He's divided into this body. Each one of you is a hand and an arm and an eye and an ear. And every one of you are necessary. And you're in this body because it pleases the Lord. And if it pleases Him, then the best way to please Him is to be in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit, just in plain, simple terms, Lord, what have you got for me tonight? Use me. I'm open. Lord, I'm going to my job today. If there's Christians there, let me minister to them. I went over with a couple of guys today to have lunch this afternoon. And I noticed one of the waitresses over there that worked in that place, and I know her very well. And to get a chance to talk to her or make an ugly face at her or get her attention in any way, shape, or form because she was working in the other part of the restaurant. So when I left, she was right there at a place where I could get a hold of her. And I reached over and tapped her and said, "Hi, how are you?" And some other smart aleck remark that I could think of, you know. "Hey, Romaine, is that you? Where did you sit?" I said, "Oh, they hide me in the back of the restaurant so nobody can see me." So I start to walk out. She says, and there was another waitress standing right beside her. She says, "Man, I love you." And the other waitress went. I laughed because I knew what she said, I knew what she meant, and I treasured out of my cotton-picking mind. Somebody cares about me. I don't care what you think. I finally found one. That's not so. That's not so, I think. I walked out of there just laughing. And it wasn't the food or the pleasure or the food or the company. But somebody ministered to me. Okay? What's her gift? Love. Where's it categorized? Who cares? Minister to the saints wherever you are. Because you've got so much to give. The waitress has all of her own personal problems and God's ministering to her. But she took time out to minister to me. You get the idea? Man, you can pray for people like that. Lord, bless the living daylights out of them until their ears ring. We are all one body, and the hand cannot say to the feet, "I have no need of thee." Ask God to enable you to minister to the other saints in this body on a regular basis. On a regular basis. Be open to anything the Lord has got at all times. You want to be blessed? You want joy and peace? Then ask Him to make you serviceable in servicing to other people. And start tonight. But don't do it because I told you to do it. Because I'm not the authority in your life. I quoted you the words in the Scripture, and that's the authority in your life. Go back and check it out and see if it's so. And if it is so, then be open. Start with the simple things if you like. I don't know what they are. Start with intercessory prayer. If God hasn't given you the gift of intercessory prayer, then let Him show you what gift He has given you. You're going second class. You'll still make it to heaven. But boy, are you passing up blessings from here to there. May we pray. Father, I just thank You tonight in the name of Jesus Christ for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that's imparted to each one of Your people in this day of grace. I thank You that You're the head of Calvary Chapel, Lord, as much as we're able to make You. Lord, I ask You tonight by Your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ that these words be sealed into the hearts of Your saints. Lord, just minister Your people and let them know that Chuck or a Romaine or a McClure or a Fromm or a Wiseman or a Laurie or a Stipe cannot do it, Lord. But it's up to Your people to evangelize the body. It's up to Your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, by Your Holy Spirit, to service one another. Show them how, Lord. Let these gifts be manifested in the body for Your glory, that Your body might be strong, that the whole world can see it, Lord. And we ask it, Lord, because we want You glorified, we want You praised, we want You honored, Lord. We want a due place in our life, collectively as Your people, and individually, Lord, as Your saved ones. Lord, fill us with your love first, that we might covet the earnestly the best gift and then minister it in that love that you give us. And I thank you tonight for your saints in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all agree together by saying, Amen. Now, you're not going to sing the Lord's Prayer. Or you're not going to sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But I'm going to give you a chance to see if you've listened to the words of the Holy Spirit tonight and ministered to each other before you leave this place. God bless you.